Hello, I'm Pastor Mike Smith, and we are working our way through the books of the Bible, and today we are taking up the book of 1 Peter. The writer tells us nothing about himself other than his name was Peter, and he was sent by Jesus, Peter being a common name in New Testament times. Some say that this was the Peter who was Jesus' disciples in the gospel stories. I'm not convinced of that. I think it's likely that there was more than one Christian named Peter who helped establish the early church. But it doesn't really matter because the author of 1 Peter was more interested in helping us understand who we are than who he was. It is what he says about us that is most important in his writings. So what does he say about us? Essentially this, he says that we are all priests. Oh my gosh. I know of plenty of people in the church who do not want to be a priest. They just want to go to church and not have all those extra responsibilities. Even myself, I'm almost retired. I'm ready to step down and let someone else do this priest thing. But according to 1 Peter, we are all priests, and we have to somehow deal with it. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a royal priesthood. The word you is plural. Now, what does this mean that we're all priests? Does it mean that we should all start offering animal sacrifices like the priests did in the Old Testament? Does it mean that we all need to go to seminary and get ordained? Does it mean we need to each become a master of our own little congregation? Well, Peter clearly had a different concept, not only of the priesthood than we have today, but also the church. Peter is one of those books in the New Testament that help define and define what the church is, along with Matthew and Corinthians and Ephesians and Revelation. And when Peter thinks of the church and the priesthood, his focus is very different from ours today. When we focus on the church, we think of church buildings and denominations and professional clergy and programs for youth and children and fellowship and worship. But when Peter thought of the church, he saw it as a community of priests. And his notion of priests was very different from that we have today or of the Old Testament. Today, a priest is an individual who leads the community. In the Old Testament, a priest was the one who tried to repair the broken relationships between human beings and God. In the Old Testament, the priest knew that relationships with God got broken by human sin, and so the priest tried to repair those relationships through prayer or ritual or animal sacrifice, through retribution or penance or restitution or fasting. The theory being that God is offended and needs some compensation for his angst. But this is not how Peter sees the role of priests. For Peter, it is not the role of the priest to repair relationships by making sure the offenses and negatives and losses are equal on both sides. It is, rather, the role of the priest, according to Peter, to bring about an infusion of love and grace and gratitude into all of our relationships. These relationships are not made better by priests practicing variations of retribution. They are instead made better and repaired by injecting massive doses of forgiveness and love and kindness into the environment. According to Peter, the relationships are repaired with God and with each other when we, the people of the church, devote ourselves to holiness. And there's the second tricky word of 1 Peter. The first tricky word being priest. Now we've come up with this word holiness. Not bad enough that we have to be priests. Now we have to be holy as well. But this is Peter's definition of both the church and of priesthood, people who are holy. Everyone in the church is a priest, according to 1 Peter. We are all priests. And the fact is, our distinctions, according to 1 Peter, between clergy and laity mean very little to God. Maybe that's why so many churches are in such a mess today. The things that preoccupy us mean so little to God. So here's where we are then. According to Peter, everyone is a priest and everyone is supposed to be holy and everyone is supposed to work at repairing broken relationships. I suppose most people would agree that we should all work to repair broken relationships. But the notion that we should all be holy, we maybe need to look at that a little more. Many people think that being holy means that you think you're better than others, holier than thou. Or being holy means being really boring and abstaining from everything fun. Or being holy means driving everyone around you crazy with your religiosity. But when we read carefully what Peter is calling us to do in his epistle, we see a very different definition of holiness emerging. To be holy is to abstain from those vices that harm relationships, and to be holy is to practice those virtues that plant and nurture and restore relationships. Love is the essence of holiness. Hospitality is one dimension of holiness. Sympathy, tenderheartedness, humility, these are all at the core of being holy. Holy does not mean being religious. It means being fully human and fully humane. To be holy is to live accountably for our actions and our words and our attitudes. To be holy is to be willing to suffer for the sake of repairing a relationship. I'm going to say that again. To be holy is to be willing to suffer for the sake of repairing a relationship. And so Peter says of all Christians, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once you were nobody, now you're God's people. At one time, no one showed you any mercy. Now you have received mercy. If churches ever had to start over from scratch, and after this pandemic, many churches may very well have to start over from scratch, I think it would be good if we started by abolishing all distinctions between clergy and laity and just started off with everyone being a priest in the spirit of 1 Peter, everyone pitching in to repair relationships, everyone giving up those things that hurt relationships, everyone doing those things that plant and nurture and repair relationships. So as we come to our conclusions here about 1 Peter, what's the bad news, the good news, what are the practical applications? Well, the bad news of 1 Peter is that we Christians aren't in more trouble for doing the right thing. You know, it's not all that hard to get in trouble for doing the wrong thing, breaking the law, being obnoxious, being a pain in the butt at home or work or church. It's not really all that hard to get in trouble for doing something bad. But in 1 Peter 3:17, he writes, it is better to suffer for doing something good than something evil. So how do you suffer for doing something good? Do you know you could get in really deep trouble for loving everyone? For example, try loving Pelosi and Trump. Both. And pretty soon, everyone will be persecuting you from one side or the other. Try loving immigrants and racists. Try loving the poor and billionaires. Try being compassionate to both the abused wife and her abusive husband. Now, Christians do sometimes get in trouble whenever we get caught up in partisan conflicts, loving one side or another. But why don't more of us get in deep trouble and suffer for loving everybody, as the Epistle of Peter challenges us? So the bad news, I think, of 1 Peter is that more Christians aren't in trouble. We are living too timidly. The good news of Peter is that God has chosen us to be a community together. God has chosen us. The good news of 1 Peter. God has chosen us to be together, to be holy, to repair and restore relationships. You do not need to have some special calling to be a clergy in order to do the most important God work in our world. As Christians, you and I have been shown mercy, and we are now sent out into the world to be merciful so that relationships can be restored everywhere, including our relationship with God. And we get to do it by pouring massive infusions of love and compassion into the world. Quickly, as we come to the end here, three practical points. First, it really is, from a practical perspective, time to rethink church and the fix we've gotten ourselves into by having two tiers of Christians, laity and clergy. And we've been further muddling the picture by all of our boards and committees. The church really has only one function, to nurture and repair relationships. And that is the job of the priest, always has been. And all of us are now priests, according to 1 Peter. It's time we started experimenting with what that means in a practical way. Second practical point of 1 Peter. Peter indicates that our job as priests is to repair relationships by changing people's hearts. It isn't enough to change people in a superficial or legalistic sense. We've seen that with the civil rights movement and racism in our country. We maybe can change people's behavior by using legal means, for instance, to enforce desegregation. But while doing legal changes, we do not always change the human heart. Racism, for instance, just goes underground and becomes even more insidious and poisonous and deadly, as we have seen in the past decade or two. Change the heart, not just the outward behavior. That's absolutely critical. That's absolutely critical for us to do. So as we move then to our third point of practicality, do not be afraid of suffering. Suffering may feel like powerlessness, but it is not the same. Suffering and love and patience become our power to change the world. Most of us will never be able to repair relationships and change others by getting on top of the heap. But all of us can bring about change by working from the angle of humility and patient endurance. 1 Peter. 1 Peter was often used in the early church, we are told, as a manual of instruction for new Christians, those about to be baptized. I think it remains for all of us a critical instruction to be read and reread again and again on how to set a new type of church into the world for this new day. 1 Peter. I'm Mike Smith, and I thank you for being with me today.